Let's turn our attention now to the Word of God. First read it and then hear from it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 51 to the end of the chapter, 51 through 58. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. This is God's Word. God's Word is for His people. God's Word is especially for His people in corporate worship to hear it. So let us now hear it. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless His Word. Again, Lord Jesus, we heard Thy Word, and in our hearing, we are blessed. Thank You for it. We ask, Heavenly Father, that Thou would expand it now, as it's been expounded upon. For we pray in Your Son's name, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is to be understood as now. We are given this victory now in Jesus Christ. We are to anticipate and expect that we will become immortal, living forever in an immortal place, an incorruptible place that will never fade away. In heaven's glory, and when He returns in the new heavens and new earth established by Him. So this is my text, verse 57, and I want to talk about it in the context of 1 Corinthians 15 here, and of course in the rest of the context of the Bible. You know me, that my theme, almost in every sermon, not in every one, but almost every one, is the world and versus us. It's the ungodly versus the godly. It's Satan versus Jesus, and certainly we have that here. And I want to expound upon that. As we go through, we have it in the word but, we have it in the verse itself, verse 57. We have still more to talk about after that. We have something to bear in mind from this verse, verse 57, and we have a final question. So those five things, the but, the verse 57 in a general way, and then the more from it, what we need to bear in mind now and forever, and also a final question that we ought to ask ourselves. So, those five things as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a little while. First, I want to talk about this, but where with this verse begins, because it reveals that through Paul, our God presents a blessed change, which is realized through none other than His Son, Jesus Christ. But Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to magnify this verse and our understanding of it in terms of thinking that there are two ways to go. There is the victorious way, and there is the non-victorious way. There is the way of Jesus Christ and God, of course, and there's the way of Satan and all that entails. This is for God's people, right? All these words, they speak to us. This is what's happening even now. It's begun to happen to us and will continue to happen to us until we finally take off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible. When we finally realize that we are and have become immortal. But not through ourselves. Listen to what the verse says. Thanks be to God. God who gives us the victory. What victory? The victory over death. The victory over Satan. The victory over sin. And the wages of sin is death. So the sting of death is gone, right? Who's given it to us? Not we ourselves, right? But God through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Plain and simple. But for many, it's not. And there are people that you know, brothers and sisters, in your own family and amongst your friends and neighbors that are not saved. And where are they going to end up? Now, we know that God saves his own, and nothing can change that. But he uses means. And one of the means he uses is his people. To share his word with others. To bear witness in word and in deed before others, right? That's the way it works. Remember, salvation comes in two ways, from within and without. From within, God builds up his church through families. He gives believers to believers. That's the way it worked in Israel. That's the way it works in the New Testament age as well. But he also calls from without. You know, like knocking on doors and saying, come on out, come on out, come with me, come with me. Of course, if you don't love this place, then you're not going to invite anybody to this place because you have a different view. You know what? I have noticed among Christians that there are many Christians that do not understand what hell is. They really don't have a good understanding of it. From the scriptures. Now, there's a lot of things about hell that are made up and imagined. People know it's a place of torment. They understand whatever that means. You know, the language is not clear. It's poetic. It's figurative. That talks about it where the fire's never quenched. The worm dies not. I mean, literally, is that what's happening? You know, the poor man in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man burning in hell, the flames, asking for a drop of water from hell. That's not literal. But what we do know about hell is that it's the place furthest away from God that could possibly exist without it not existing. It's God is as absent from that place as is possible. So, in a practical way of speaking, there's no God there. There's nothing to do with God in that place. These people, these devils, they're without Him. There's no witness, there's no hope, there's no faith, there's no love. It's as far away from God as possibly be. That's the terror of the place, above all else. No possibility of ever getting close to God again, or closer. You're going to stay as far away from Him and His influence as could possibly be without existing. It's a terrible thing. For us, therefore, and for those in our family and amongst our friends and neighbors, the question is simple. Do you belong to Jesus? Do I belong to Jesus? Or do you belong to Satan? It's one or the other. That is it. There's two groups. One group is for God, the other is not. One group is going to wind up being immortal, living in an incorruptible place with beauty and excellence forever and ever. The other, it's sad. It's worse than any imagining. It is worse than Dante's Inferno. Although that's pretty bad if you ever read it. As for me and my house, said Joshua, we will follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. That's the way it has to be in my house. I hope it's that way in your house. Because that's the way it has to be. As for me and my house, I will follow the Lord, and everyone in my house will follow the Lord. Or get out. Pretty hard attitude, isn't it? I think that was the attitude of Joshua, though, and Caleb. Now, this first verse 57, get into a little bit. If we are, by God's grace, called to be His people, we have this wonderful victory. Victory, yes, victory in Jesus, as Paul states it. We do not deserve it. We did not even ask for it because we were against it when we first began. It's not something that we were thinking about or wanted. It's a gift. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this gift comes to us through Jesus Christ. You mean it doesn't come because I've willed it? It doesn't come because I have run after it? No, it's not of him that wills, it's not of him that runs, it's not of him that works for a wage. It's a gift. And that's the beauty of it. It's a gift from God through Jesus Christ. And if I may add a little bit, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to will and do. That you call a triumph. And what we We need to keep in mind, always bear in mind, at Christmas time, Thanksgiving before it, today, tomorrow, for the rest of our lives, is that Satan, who is alive and well and working in this place feverishly, if devil sweat, to have a people for himself, to urge a people in his way. And what's that way? It's the way of the world. It's the way of the ungodly. It's the way of unbelief. It's the way of I don't care for a darn thing spiritual, but all things else. That's the way Satan wants it. Do you remember the proto-evangel? You heard it from Dr. Curtis a little while back. It's in Genesis 3:15. I just want to refresh your mind. You don't have to really turn to that, but I will refresh your mind. It's a very important verse. It's probably the first promised gospel, the gospel itself, in one verse there, where God says to the devil, cursing him, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Satan, the devil, and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. Okay. So we see that the devil's seed, because the devil can't have babies, right? Demons can't have babies. So their babies are going to come through women. As well as the seed which is Christ himself and all his. They're also going to come through a woman and women. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's called the proto-evangel. The gospel in seed form right from the very beginning. There are those two, right? There's the team of Satan and the team of Christ. And both come into this world in the natural way that people come into the world, right? But there's a division. There's a divide. Some are Satan's and some are God's. Now, who are God's? The ones who hate the world. The ones who despise Satan. The ones, if you're going to have a hatred in your heart, hate sin. The ones who hate sin and Satan are the ones called God's seed. The ones after Christ. After Christ alone. The other one, or ones, the other seed is going to love this place. Is going to be enamored with this place. Is going to glory in it. Is going to just bathe in its gold and silver and successes. That's what it's all about. It's one of two. It's not that difficult to understand. The victory which Paul wrote is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. And according to Scripture, he puts an enmity, a hatred in our heart towards Satan and sin. Now, most people will agree, well, I hate Satan, not knowing what they're talking about, but yeah, I don't like the devil. If they even believe in him. Most people don't really believe in the 21st century. Who believes in the devil? That's for, you know, vampire movies and stuff like that. I don't believe in the devil. Don't believe in vampires or werewolves either, do we? Don't believe in the devil. But ha! Who hates sin? Right? People of God hate sin. Do you really? Do you really hate sin? Because that's the devil's tool, sin. You really hate sin? You really hate sins like, thinking bad thoughts, lusting after other things, coveting material possessions and other people and gifts and things like that, successes and, all this. You really hate sin? You really hate gossip and backbiting and, anger and getting upset and lashing out at people? You really hate all that stuff? Don't you think you deserve sometimes to get angry? Don't you think you deserve to have things, more things? Don't you think you deserve just as much as someone else? Don't you think you deserve more than the other person because you work harder and that person does not work as hard as you? I mean, come on. Do you really hate sin? Some sins, right? But not every sin. God's people are instructed, are encouraged, are admonished, are even rebuked. Hate Satan and sin, and love God and Christ. That is your victory. That's the victory in Jesus. Jesus hated Satan and hated sin, all sin. No compromise with any of it. I like to compromise with some of my sins, don't you? I must confess. There's more to this. We take note of the fact that we are spoken of here as those who are given a tremendous victory through his Son, who was born of a virgin. You know, we've been talking about that lately. It's Christmas time, right? And we've been talking about the virgin birth. God gave a son to Mary and to Joseph, which they had nothing with which to do. Mary had to bear him. She bore the son. She bore the child in her womb. But she and Joseph did not do this. God gave them and us a son. That's the idea of the Christmas story about Jesus, right? God gave it to them and to the world. It's the same thing with this victory. It's the same thing with our salvation. God gives it. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. Mary and Joseph did not work. Well, she did a little bit during her pregnancy, of course. But again, they didn't work together for this. God gave a gift. The Son of God. He gives us a gift. The victory over what? Satan and sin. And remember, the wages of sin is death, and death. God gives it. We don't earn it. We don't will it. We don't wish for it. He gives it. And that's why, one of the reasons why I chose that hymn 37, "All that I am, I owe to thee." Not to me and thee, but to thee. "All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. Based on Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well." It's God. God gets all the credit. Therefore, we've been thanking him. We have been grateful to him. Thanksgiving Day, of course, it started. Christmas Day, we're showing our gratitude and all. But we must realize that every day, We did not personally win over Satan and sin. The victory has been given to us as a gift from God through Jesus Christ. And that's what makes it such a wonderment to us all. And we need to share that kind of message, brothers and sisters, with others. It's a gift. It's not a work. It's not according to willpower, man's willpower. It's according to God's willpower working in us by His Spirit. Therefore, we are always to thank God every day and be grateful to Him every day, not just at Thanksgiving time, and I know you know this, not just at Christmas time, but every day, all the time, thank God. For He has purposed in my life to save me and to save my family members. What joy is there in that? And to save my friends and to save this family, this church family, right? Everyone here, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you thinking of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, who has given you everything? Or did you do it? Have you achieved whatever it is? The reason why I'm here today, the reason why I'm able at this point anyway to string two sentences coherently together is because of God. It's not because of me or because of the doctor or because of this silly government. It's because of God. Why am I well to this point? I have diseases, but you know what I mean. Protected from this disease, that disease, because of God. Not because of me or the doctor or whatever. He uses these things as means. I'm not putting them all down. I'm not saying just ignore it. But it's because of God. And certainly, it's because of God that I am saved. It's not because of you and it's not because of me. It's because of God. So we need to bear this in mind, that our salvation is a gift, a free gift. It's a gift of amazing grace. This life that we live now in faith in Jesus Christ, as we walk in this world and we use our heads and, you know, we do things that we're supposed to do in the right orders because He has given us this life. We should always bear it in mind that this victory that we have been given is over sin and death. It's over Satan and sin and death. It's over all things that are heading, that are taking the people of this world and heading them in the wrong direction. Over the precipice and into hell itself. God has given us the victory over all of that. And that's important for us to bear in mind because you know something? I think that there's a gospel out there. In fact, I know that there's a gospel out there which is not really the gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel that people think that God will save them, that being believing in Jesus Christ is going to save them from pain and suffering. You know, the miseries of this life. That God doesn't want us to experience pain to our day. Or miseries or loss. And what people are focusing in on is physical comfort. That God is going to save us and give us the victory over all this discomfort. A lot of people also think that God is going to save us from punishment, that we're not going to suffer hell. And that's true enough, but that's not what this victory is about alone. He's given us the victory over Satan and sin, which leads to death. That's what he's given us the victory over. In other words, people, dear people, I want us to ask the question of ourselves. Has God given me this victory over Satan, sin, and eventually death itself? How do I know? Well, I could tell you one thing, that the people that are living a life that does not include God in any day, and especially on the Lord's Day, do you realize that the Church of Jesus Christ is allowing behaviors and sinful behaviors and attitudes to prevail in it without discipline, without admonition, without rebuke from the pulpits? At least that. Without confrontation towards sin, that there are churches that are full of people that are just living as they please in sin. They're not being admonished for it. They're not being rebuked for it. They go off on the Sabbath day and they do their pleasure. Isaiah, read Isaiah 55. Man, you're doing your pleasure on the Sabbath day? That's condemned. What are you doing? But the Church of Jesus Christ today doesn't care about that, it seems. A lot of churches, a lot of places, not everyone. Oh, yeah, you can do your thing. And there are churches that prefer music. Why? Because they like music, even above the preaching of the Word. Why not? It's more pleasant to hear music. It's more pleasant to be entertained. It's something that I like. It's something that makes me feel good. Isn't that what God wants? No! Where do you get that? He wants you to feel good, that you're not sinning, that you're not living in sin. Feel great about that. That you've overcome the devil and the demon in this world that's leading this world to the precipice. Yeah, feel good about that, but don't feel good about being comfortable in your own pleasure like a pig in the mud. That's not what the Bible tells us, is it? So the question is, do I have this victory? This victory over Satan, sin, and eventually, of course, death itself. And the answer is yes, if I'm walking in the way that God would have it. In other words, it's not just God saved, forgiving me all my sins. It's that. And going to eventually wind up in heaven. It's that. And I'm not going to be punished in hell. It's that. But it's also not being in bondage to sin. The victory is walking in the way of holiness and godliness, wanting to do what God wants me to do and say what God wants me to say, not just for Thanksgiving, not just for Christmas, but every day of my life. It's rejoicing in the Lord and in His way. No longer under the dominion and the bondage and the power of sin, but walking according to grace and mercy and peace and love with understanding. That's the victory in Jesus. Not just about overcoming the punishment, it is that, but it's more than that. It's now. It's walking and talking in the way of God. From beginning to end. When it first began, to the end. Salvation, our salvation, brothers and sisters, our salvation from beginning to end and everything in between is all a gift of God's grace. All of it. Take no credit. It's all a gift of God's grace. Your wellness, physical wellness as well as spiritual, is a gift
from God. Enjoy it. Relish it. Love it. Have and hold it. To God be the glory. Praise God, from whom all blessings, all of them, flow. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you. Thank you for this great salvation, this wonderful salvation, which is a victory over Satan, over the world of sin, over our own sin. It's wonderful, Lord. It's wonderful, and it's all you're doing. It's not our doing. It's your doing. You have incited a riot in us, a change that is taking place more and more. We're becoming like Jesus, more and more in the image of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that thou will continue to bless all your people here, and those that are absent from us because they're away, vacationing maybe, or they're ill, they're not feeling well. Bless their hearts and minds in Christ. Hear our prayer for them, because we're thinking of them as well, and that they be here with us soon again. But we're thankful to be here now, and pray in the name of Jesus all this. Amen.